Hello, you're watching Talking Europe. Europe is trying to put itself at the forefront of the global ocean agenda, releasing its Oceans Pact ahead of a United Nations ocean conference in the French coastal city of Nice. It's estimated that more than 90% of EU marine waters are overexploited by industrial fishing, seabed mining, growing offshore infrastructure, and so on. And yet, healthy oceans are the precondition for breathing healthy air, ensuring sustainable food supplies, and securing energy independence as more of our electricity is set to come from the sea. With oceans being so interconnected with so much else in our lives, it's not surprising that MEPs are saying that the EU should give ocean policy higher priority and, of course, lead by example at the UN conference. Well, to discuss this, I'm joined by Paulo do Nascimento Cabral, a Portuguese MEP from the European People's Party. He's on the Committee on Fisheries and on Agriculture and Rural Development, and he is also the Vice Chair of the Intergroup on Seas, Rivers, Islands and Coastal Areas here in the European Parliament. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
I'm also pleased to welcome Christophe Clergeot, who chairs that same intergroup. He's a French MEP from the Socialists and Democrats, and he's on the Committee on the Environment, Climate and Food Safety, and on the Committee on Public Health. Welcome to you as well, Christophe Clergeot. Let's start with you. So from what we know of this Oceans Pact, is it actually a big step forward?
It's a totally new step for Europe. I'm working here in sea issues for 15 years, and I was waiting for this holistic, comprehensive approach of all the sea maritime aspects of all public policies in Europe. So yes, now perhaps we will have at the top of the agenda a European maritime policy. It is good news.
Paulo do Nascimento Cabral, so this Oceans Pact says that there should be an act, so a legislative act, after the pact. Is that the right way to go, to actually have an act after the pact?
Well, first of all, thank you for an invitation and a compliment to Christophe Clergeot, a very good friend. And we work a lot together on Intergroup Ciarica. It's quite important the work he has been doing and all of the Ciarica Intergroup. In our case, in our group, we defend that we need to simplify, to solve this complexity and legislative proposals that the European Union has putting forward several times and creates these limits and constraints to the Europeans. So it's quite important for us to have something that could be implemented, but at the same time to not create an excessive burden over the administrations and the Europeans.
So you're a bit skeptical about the act because of the bureaucratic aspect of things?
Exactly, and the implementation. So it's quite important to guarantee a system that could implement what is decided in the Ocean Act. This is why we are talking about an Ocean Pact and not an Ocean Act in our group, because we wanted to have this approach that was more simple and less complicated. But we totally are aligned with the goals and objectives of protecting our oceans and the climate goals also.
Your reaction, Christophe?
To be clear, the Ocean Pact will be the first step, and the Ocean Act will come as a second step in 1 year. Why do we need an Ocean Act regulation? It's because we did not achieve the goals, the targets, and we failed in protecting and restoring the oceans. So now we need a new tool to manage the ocean, to combine ecology and economy, and not make systematically compromises against ecology. So it's a necessary tool, no administrative burden, just capacity to better implement what has been decided and not achieved.
But it sounds from what your colleague is saying that you might not actually have the EPP group on board for the act.
We need to build together what must be the act. And it's an EPP president of a commission and an EPP commissioner who proposed this Ocean
Fair
Act.
Enough.
So I am optimistic.
Right. And Paulo do Nascimento Cabral, of course, you've argued a lot about the importance of protecting fishing communities and coastal communities. I guess that's also in the same spirit of not having too much regulation, too much supervision of those communities.
Yeah, exactly. We don't agree with over-regulation. It's quite important, and the Europeans give this sign in the last European elections. And we have to be very careful to not create any more constraints in line with what we are talking right now about the competitiveness of the sector, of the European economy. So it's quite important to not deregulate, but create to simplify the regulations that we are having right now. And I totally agree with Christoph. We need to work together to build something in common because it's on the interest of the European Union. But let me just say that in our group, we also see this Ocean Pact as a way to give again the leadership, the European Union, to the defense of our oceans and to create an environment or a movement that could bring the third countries with us to protecting the oceans. This is why the change of the name of Oceans Pact to Ocean Pact, because it's one ocean, and what we do in one part of the ocean will impact the coastal communities, the fishermen, etc. And we need to take into account all of these sectors. The maritime special planning, it's quite important. We already have a lot of regulations, a lot of directives that we need to enforce them, to put them in place. And what we are seeing is that there's a lot of space, space to improve what we have right now and not creating things on top of it. But we are, of course, ready to work together.
On the fishing side of things, I mean, you've said, Christophe Clergeau, that there are rules that exist, but they haven't been properly implemented. And I think one example of that would be rules on bottom trawling, which is considered to be quite a destructive practice.
So first, this Ocean Pact and this maritime policy is for people, for fishermen and for people from coastal and island communities. And we must build the future, the sustainable future of fisheries. So we must give a good signal to fishermen that Europe is okay to open the possibility to invest in the future of fisheries. But the future of fisheries is about fish. So we need to restore and to protect the stocks and to change the practice. And bottom trawling is not a practice for the future. We will have to phase out, but we have to build with the researchers, with the fishermen, and with the industry who built vessels for the fleet for the fishermen, a new approach, a new sustainable approach, better living for fishermen, better living for fish.
Yeah, I mean, it obviously is about fish as well. You're right. And I want to get your thoughts on the question of deep sea mining, because there is a European commitment to a moratorium on this. What do you think should happen at the end of the moratorium? Because I think you've said there needs to be scientific knowledge before we decide what to do next.
Exactly. In my personal opinion, we should renew the moratorium after the end of this moratorium, because we don't have enough information yet about what will happen with the deep sea mining. The studies that we are receiving are quite complicated, are quite we are not having good news about that. So it's important to first of all to have concrete information to decide in either way. So this is what I can say right now regarding that, because I'm from Azores, from Portugal, and we were the first countries that assigned this moratorium and defined this moratorium. We don't see it a necessity right now to adhere to the deep sea mining. We understand the interest, we understand the urgency that we are having right now in the European Union toward critical raw materials, but I don't see it as a possibility in the next decades.
Yeah, your thoughts on that same issue of the moratorium?
Yes, I share the same approach. It's a cautious one, I think a good one. And we do not need to mobilize these resources now at all. And we have a Trump problem, a drill, baby drill problem, that some in the world want to mobilize any kind of resources in any condition. The ocean is not so well known. It's a fantastic reservoir of biodiversity. And we need to protect this biodiversity because it is our future. We need that for medicine, we need that for fooding, we need that for blue innovations. If we begin to destroy the treasure we have, we will destroy our future. So be cautious, protect the ocean, protect the oceans.
I just want to highlight a proposal that I made in the PESC committee. It was approved by my colleagues. It's a pilot project to establish in Azores, right in the North Atlantic, in the middle of the North Atlantic, an European deep sea observatory, because we need to know more about the deep sea.
Of course.
And we now know more about the space and the moon and not about the deep sea. So we have a long way to go. We need to work together with the scientists, with researchers, and guarantee that any decision that we are having right now will not create problems for the next generations on the oceans. Eh?
And it's a key element. We need science, we need knowledge, we need observation of the ocean, because we do not know the oceans. We have to discover the oceans to better understand it and to better protect it.
I mean, you both agree on this issue of the moratorium, but presumably there will be other political forces in Europe that will take more of a drill baby drill type approach. Mm.
If you want to have a different approach, it's very simple. The example of energy, you can develop green energy at sea. It should represent 20% of the electricity produced in Europe from now to 2050.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic opportunity for citizens in Europe to have green energy coming from Europe. It's also a fantastic opportunity to develop a sustainable value chain in Europe with quality jobs in Europe. So yes, green energy, instead of drill, baby drill, it's an opportunity for a sovereign Europe and a sustainable Europe.
We'll have to end it there. Thank you so much to both of you, Paulo do Nascimento Cabral and Christophe Clergeau. And of course, we'll be following that UN conference in Nice here on France 24. Do stay with us.